from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Can I say a pet peeve real quick? Hour number two, by the way. That's James. I'm Kyle.
Yeah.
D'Lo and KC coming up at noon. $500 can be yours with the keyword that we're going to give you this hour, so stay tapped in. I have a pet peeve with our second hour intro.
Oh.
It says, welcome back to hour number two.
Mm.
It should just be welcome to hour number two.
Okay.
Which is, it's the start of the, it's not welcome back to the second hour.
Okay. I'm with you.
You don't care about this.
No,
okay.
No.
My bad.
No, grammatically, you're correct.
Theoretically, I guess you could say, like, we've had other hour number two, so welcome back into the hour two iteration of, but I don't know.
Okay.
It's not so much that I'm going to bug Charlie with it, because Charlie has way bigger fish to fry than my meaningless pet peeve with one word in our second hour rejoin.
Mm-hmm.
But if I ever get my hands on the ability to fix that myself, I might.
Okay. Maybe just go in there and like clip it out and like.
I could definitely. Mm-hmm.
Maybe, because a beat is consistent then. You know, I don't know.
I might mess with that. I might, when I have some extra time one day, I might do that. I'm not taking Charlie's time or my time. I will take radio time with it.
That's
though.
Right.
We've been talking a lot of Kings today, talking some NBA playoffs as well. Glad last night's games were more fun than the weekend. The weekend was a dud. Brutal. But anyways, we've been talking a ton of Malik Monk today.
Yeah.
And you and I both lean toward, he's probably leaving. But there's still definitely a chance that he stays here in Sacramento. There's plenty to play out. We've got, what, a month and change until free agency starts?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot to play out here. Here's what I want to go over with you, James. I want to know what the Kings team building looks like in both instances. So what are the Kings' options if Malik Monk stays, and what are the options if he goes?
Okay.
Let's start with Malik Monk stays. He's on a $17.4 million contract. So let me start here, because you're the cap guy.
Yep.
What would that then mean for Keegan Murray and his potential extensions coming up in a couple years?
I don't think it means all that much. Okay. Like, one way or another, you're going to do that. And the way that the Kings have basically, if you look at their salary design, okay. Kevin Huerter's contract and Harrison Barnes' contract are both, they have 2 years remaining after, at this point, they have 2 years remaining past the season we just
right.
got done
so
with.
So through right? the 25-26 season.
Yeah, so again, when Keegan Murray, his rookie scale extension kicks in after year four, Harrison Barnes and Kevin Huerter are no longer on the books. And we're talking about $38 million gone.
Yeah.
So,
and that's just free salary cap space. There's no weird thing about,
well, it's free salary cap space, but I think there's always like a misconception about what free salary cap space means. Like, if you lose a $17.4 million player this offseason in Malik Monk, mm-hmm. you do not have $17.4 million to go sign someone else.
Mm-hmm.
The Kings are over the cap already.
Right.
Yeah, so the only thing they have would be the mid-level exception, which is around like $12 to $13 million. I don't know what the exact mm-hmm. dollar for this year is, but that's all you have, right? Mm-hmm. And you're already at like $152 million. So if you do, let's just say you do retain Malik Monk,
mm-hmm.
the luxury tax is $172 million. So if you give Malik $17.4 million, all of a sudden you're at almost like $169 million, or maybe you're over $169 million. You're almost to 170. So now, like going out and signing a middle level exception is going to be difficult because that would also push you up over the luxury tax. So what the Kings would do in that situation most likely is once you get Monk, and then you start shuffling the deck. Like, can I make a move with a Chris Duarte? Can I make a move with a Davion Mitchell or Trey Lyles, or can I move a Harrison Barnes or Kevin Huerter?
So is it as simple as this? Malik Monk re-signs.
Mm-hmm.
The Kings' options for adding players is via trade.
Well,
and the draft.
Number one, they have the draft pick, but again, that pick alone is going to push you over the up to the luxury tax without any question.
And the Kings aren't going there?
Well, I think the Kings... I think Vivek would pay the luxury tax. He hasn't done it yet. Like, the Kings have 22nd highest payroll.
Mm-hmm.
So he hasn't proven that he would pay the luxury tax at this point. But he also hasn't had a team that's right there on the cusp of winning. And so if he does have that team, right, that team that has potential to not just make the playoffs but be a really high-seeded playoff team, and on top of that, maybe even has championship contention quality to them, then yeah, he's going to pay the luxury tax. I mean, and if he doesn't, I think every Kings fan in should walk into the building wearing a Joe Lacob shirt and say, hey, what would Lacob do? Because
sure.
Lacob's paying $186 million in luxury tax,
just
not
in
salary.
Luxury tax. Yeah.
Like, Lacob is paying $30 million in luxury tax dollar, an additional $30 million more than what the Kings are paying for their entire team. And
wow.
then on top of that, he has his roster mm-hmm. that he's paying another $200 million to.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's the disparity is crazy. I mean, mm-hmm. like, he's at, like, I think it's 360, 370
it's
after
like
they made some.
Yeah.
Yeah, after they made some moves at the deadline to clear some space.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 370. So, there are $220 million more they're paying for their team than what the Kings are paying.
Man.
So, yes, you're going to have to pay for the big team, right? But I think there is this way that these mechanisms, and where you have guys who fall off the books again this next season, $6 million for Duarte, $6 million for Mitchell, $8 million for Trey Lyles. All of those guys are expiring contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whether you want to keep Trey Lyles or Davion Mitchell around, whatever, you have to at some point look at them also as like trade chips, and what can you do with this stack of players. Again, the Harrison Barnes, the Kevin Huerters of the world. There's a lot of way for the Kings to adapt and maneuver their mm-hmm. their roster moving forward. You just have to find the right trade partner.
Now, let's shift to let's put a pin on if he goes.
Okay.
My biggest question, I guess, then, is if he is staying, are the Kings just out on free agency?
No, that's when they have to make trades,
right?
In order before the start of free agency to free up
clear
money.
Space.
Yeah,
got it.
So and I think
that's the kind of deal where you're sending Kevin Huerter to Team X with the pick on it, or
no? I don't think that you have to give up your pick to move Kevin Huerter's 2 years at $36 million.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that's the case.
Okay.
I still think that you can trade Kevin Huerter, and you might even be able to trade Kevin Huerter for a player who's less expensive. Like, could you go out and find like a $12 million player and move Kevin Huerter for at $17 million for a $12 million player, and then all of a sudden you free up some cap space.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these are ways that you could actually like open up some space.
Sure.
Or you could find a team that has a ton of cap space and needs a shooter, and you could try to move him for nothing, and and basically free up $17 million in space.
So there wouldn't be the salary matching deal
well,
there?
Well, if a team has open cap space and can accept a player, then there is not a matching component.
Got it.
Yeah.
So if somebody just has $18 million, if the Sixers...
Well, the Dallas Mavericks last year had an extra $12 or $14 million. They absorbed a contract of Rashawn Holmes from the Kings, and the Kings gave him the 24th pick as well. I don't think you have to give up a pick in order to move harder at all.
Yeah.
But I also think that you could probably go out and find a player that makes more sense for your roster than he does.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, this isn't like an attack on Kevin at all. And I thought Kevin's, like, post his exit interview was excellent. He struggled. Like, he talked about it. He struggled, like, with the whole season with, like, what was his place in the world. And you know, he even said, like, he had worked all of the whole offseason on, like, the DHO thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what he had to do in order to be a good player for this team. And he got away from the basics because he just concentrated on all of these motions that this roster needed for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he felt like that hurt him when teams took that away. Like, well, this is what I've been working on the whole season. Now I can't do it. I don't know. There's a lot of player movement. There's a lot of, like, positional movement that could happen here inside the roster. I just think we're at the beginning of, like, what could be a really, really transformative summer.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking about it a lot. We will continue talking about it next as the second hour continues on ESPN 1320. Sorry, on the Insiders. Not the second hour on ESPN 20. It's the second hour of the Insiders on ESPN 1320. We'll be back in a second.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I will keep talking about Malik Monk, if he stays, if he goes. Let's do that here. We talked about what happens if he stays. We'll talk about the Kings' team building flexibility or potential maneuvers if he winds up leaving Sacramento. But let's give away some money right now. We're gonna give you a chance to win $500. Before we do that, let's give a big shout out to Monday's winner, Ronte B. Congratulations, a big winner here on ESPN 1320, winning $500 with the Nothing But Net $500 giveaway. We'll be giving you a keyword every single day this week, and you will get a chance every single day to win $500 as long as you enter that keyword at ESPN1320.com. We give you one. D'Lo and KC give you one. That is two chances to win $500. Today's keyword is, drumroll please, today's keyword, better than yesterday's keyword, coach. Coach. Coach, as in Nick and Schmidt's friend, Coach. You watch New Girl. As in Coach Mike Brown.
Okay.
As in the spinoff from Cheers, Coach.
Mm.
As in, I don't fly first class, I fly coach. I dap up Kenny on my way back there.
Kenny, who might be wearing a coach bag.
Oh, very, dude, that is, I think.
Really
good. Really, really good.
Kenny never flies coach.
No, he definitely doesn't. He's sipping mimosas in first class.
That's right.
Give me dap as I walk by. It's fine. All right, coach. That's your $500 keyword for today. Go to ESPN1320.com. Enter the Nothing But Net giveaway. It's your chance to win $500. And a big shout out to Ronte. All right, so we've talked about if Malik Monk stays and what that $17.4 million does for the Kings moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
What if he leaves? They now no longer have that $17.4 in cap tied up. Does that mean anything for them?
No. No.
Perfect.
And that's the problem.
Tell me why.
Okay, so the mid-level exception is the only
12 or
thing.
$13 million.
Yeah. The mid-level exception and the biannual exception, which is I think $5 to $6 million. Those are the only two apparatuses the Kings will have to improve the roster as far as free agency. That doesn't mean that you can't find a player. Like, you can definitely find a player that makes sense for you. It's probably going to be a short-term fix, especially with that, like, the biannual exception. Mid-level exception can go up to 4 years. But again, you have to be cautious. Like, I used to call this death by mid-level. Like, anytime that you get to a certain point and you think that holding on to your place in the world in the NBA can be fixed with a mid-level exception, mm-hmm. You've chose horribly wrong. Because, you know, it used to be like $5 million, right? Which is what the Kings gave to Sharif Abdur-Rahim, right? So the Kings thought that they were still in it, that they still might have a shot. So they signed a guy like Sharif in, like, hoping that he could keep the window open, right? Mm-hmm. And then you sign a guy like Mikey Moore, and then you end up signing multiple mid-level exceptions over the years. Like, you start stacking them. So instead of having like a $15 million player, you got three $5 million players. And that doesn't usually work out for teams. Now that the mid-level is higher, it's a higher dollar value. Yeah, maybe you can find somebody who could fill somewhat of the role. Maybe you can find a starter. There's always an opportunity that you could find a really nice starting shooting guard that would take that kind of money. But a lot of those things are there. It's a gamble. Like, you know, like most players that are going to be impactful on a playoff team either make way more than that, or they're way less expensive than that, and they're just straight up role players. So it's not easy. It's not easy to piece this thing together, especially if you lose Monk.
That's the prevailing theme with all of this. Is yeah. They're in a tough spot roster-wise. Not that it's bad, but that there are, I think, are pretty obvious improvements that need to be made.
Yeah.
But finding 6'8 wings, 6'8 plus wings that shoot the three and play defense, that's like what every team wants.
Especially
every team is looking for those guys.
And not to overpay a guy who's not good enough, you know? Again, you could look at Matisse Thybulle, right?
Yeah.
Matisse Thybulle, they end up paying him $10 million a year or whatever it is in Portland. Like, he's not worth that at this point. Like, mm-hmm. He's again, the equivalent of a mid-level exception player on a bad team. And that, you know, sure, you got to fill up roster spots and you need talent, but that doesn't mean, you know, a guy like Derek Jones Jr., mm-hmm. like, okay, I would pay $6 million, but he might stay in Dallas for $6 million. Yeah. What you don't want to do is pay him $12 million, expecting him to live up to a $12 million contract.
Exactly.
And so it's really complex on how you have to build at this point. And like, look, if you're going to lose Malik, you have two choices. You can try to find another Malik, or you can go out and try to get a much better shooting guard, like 20-point-per-game guy, and then use Keon Ellis as your backup one, your backup two, you know, have him rotate through backup one, two, three. That might be a better avenue forward for the Kings, mm-hmm. where you're out there searching for this different type of player. And whether you can find that, you know, I don't know. What is Gary Trent Jr. going to get in free agency? Could
Gary Trent a 20-points-per-game guy?
He has been in his career. But could he be a guy that makes sense, that could step in and help your roster? And is there a way that you could get him for around the mid-level exception? I don't know, maybe. And then, you know, again, use Keon Ellis as like that defensive stopper off the bench. And so sure. I think it really does lend itself to like some other opportunities, but you're super limited. And then this team is going to be, like, they're going to make or break this team with trades. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how you're not a number 13 pick in the 2024 NBA draft 3 years from now might be impactful for you, but it's mm-hmm. not going to be impactful on day one. And like, how are you going to improve this roster, especially since you don't have a bunch of draft picks to offer now? You don't have your 25, your 26, yeah. and even your 27 has to come with an asterisk if you trade it. That's not easy.
Man. I want to remind everybody, Coach, by the way, is our Nothing But Net $500 keyword. It's your chance to win $500. Enter the keyword Coach at ESPN1320.com. A quick correction from, I think it was I Am Not Ham. I was thinking of Frasier when I was thinking of Cheers spinoff series. I said Coach. That is not correct.
Yeah, that's why I was like.
Yeah, no, you just next Craig time be like, hey, bro, that is not right. No, you just got to let me know.
Dobber.
I mixed up my sitcoms that were on the television when I was a child.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, Coach
Frasier was... Frasier was the show I was looking for.
Coach was a good one.
Yeah. Not a Cheers spinoff, though.
No.
It was not.
No.
No.
Frasier is at least one. They also had their Tortellis,
yes.
Which was also a spinoff of Cheers.
Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah.
This person said, thanks for the cheese. You're welcome.
Oh, okay.
I hope that was one of our winners. I hope they're hanging out in the Chatty House.
I hope so.
No, I can't awesome. Make it. I can't legally make it so the Chatty House can win all things, but I wish it could.
No, the Chatty House cleaned up during the
oh my God,
PS5 giveaway.
It was ridiculous.
Oh,
bro.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Totally insane. Yeah. Speaking of that, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. That is the Farmer's Dog Talk Line. A healthy life starts with healthy food. If you want to tap in and talk about Malik Monk, if you want to talk about the Kings offseason, we'll be doing that today and beyond. We'll also talk some NFL draft coming up a little bit later on in the week. So one of the things that you've brought up in talking about the Kings team building, either with or without Malik Monk on the roster, there is a really, really significant concern for me, especially when it comes to, you've also mentioned with the draft pick,
mm-hmm.
or, hey, there's this great 19-year-old European prospect who might be there when the Kings pick at 13, but that doesn't necessarily fit their timeline. That's what I want to get into, because I have a really, really significant worry about the Kings that really settled in for me last night while I was watching the NBA playoffs, and I'll tell you what that is next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile, and on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James in here doing spin moves. Got the handoff coming up. Hey, it's D-Lo today? I think it's D-Lo today. Going to come in and hang out with us for the handoff. We will hand it off to D-Lo and Casey coming up at noon. and they will hang out with you until 4 o'clock. Remember, they will also have a keyword for you for the Nothing But Net $500 giveaway. They will have that for you in the 3 o'clock hour. If you missed our keyword, I'm going to be super nice and give it to you again. Coach. The keyword is coach. And you enter that at ESPN1320.com, and you'll be entered for a chance to win $500.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
I have a concern about the Kings that may be overblown based on what I was reading on the internet last night.
Okay.
You can imagine that.
Heaven forbid the internet.
Are we still doing the thing where the Kings could be the Nuggets?
Well, I don't see why not.
Okay. Then we need to have a very real discussion, because they can't, first of all.
Well, I mean, like, trying to emulate another team and trying to be better than the other team is never easy.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I certainly think that there is a pathway. Like, I'm intrigued. I want to hear your thought, because I think I have a rebuttal.
The Nuggets' runway has been so long. Jamal Murray and De'Aaron Fox are the same age. Domantas Sabonis is about to turn 29 in 2 weeks. By the time Nikola Jokic is 29, he had 2 MVPs. I'm sorry, 28?
28.
He's about to turn 28.
Yeah.
He's a year younger than Nikola Jokic. By the time Nikola Jokic was 28, he had 2 MVPs. And that's where this all kind of falls apart to me, because you have Murray and Jokic peaking as a duo with this talent already around them. And you have De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis, who should theoretically, that's your Murray and Jokic in the situation, I think, very obviously. You have this duo who is roughly the same age as the Nuggets duo, but you are well behind them in terms of team building.
Okay, so I totally get that concern. But I would also say a couple of things. Number one, like, Sabonis is never going to be an MVP, right? I don't think he's not going to get to... It's because he doesn't score enough. Like, if he scored more, like, maybe he could be in some sort of conversation.
Sure.
He's going to be a top, you know, 6 to 8 MVP balloting guy,
mm-hmm.
but he's not... But that kind of... He puts him in the same, like, ballpark. I would also say that De'Aaron Fox is a much better player than Jamal Murray. Now, is he as clutch in the playoffs as Jamal Murray? We don't know, because we haven't actually seen it,
mm-hmm.
right? But then it comes down to, like, the other positions on the floor and how they develop and all that mm-hmm. stuff. So, like, could Keegan Murray be equal to or greater than Michael Porter Jr.? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I still think that. Either way, he's younger, right? Can mm-hmm. Keon Ellis be equal to or greater than Kentavious Caldwell-Pope? I don't know. That's yet to be seen, but similar style of player. Can, if you bring back Malik Monk somehow, Malik Monk is a better player than Reggie Jackson. The key that I'm always going to point to is that the Kings don't have Aaron Gordon. Like,
that's it,
we could balance everything else out here. The fact that they don't have Aaron Gordon,
mm-hmm.
like, that is the one thing that the Kings have to find. And again, whether it's a 2, whether it's a 3 or a 4, it doesn't matter to me. It doesn't at all. Because I could sit here and make an argument that you have other pieces that could be equal to or better than. Like, having a Harrison Barnes is fine. It's just that the fact that you don't have Aaron Gordon,
mm-hmm.
Aaron Gordon is just a much better player and a much better fit for what you're trying to do. And the same thing with Kevin Huerter. Like, Kevin Huerter is a perfectly fine player, but he's not Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. He doesn't bring the same thing, mm-hmm. which is that defensive-minded shooting guard that you have to have in order for this whole thing to work.
I think it also, this is not an anti-Sabonis thing. This is a Nikola Jokic sets a extremely high bar if you're trying to replicate that. And yeah. I just don't think there's another player that replicates the impact he has on games at the center position. With what he can do as a scorer, what he does as a passer out of the high post, out of the low post, from the perimeter, whatever it is, he is just so freaking good that if Sabonis is 23, we're going, yeah, hey, there's some development there. But I think that Sabonis is just kind of the player that he's going to be.
Oh, no,
and that's really, really good.
Yeah.
This is not about Domantas Sabonis. It's about what Nikola Jokic does as a player, that I think if you're trying to replicate that, by going, yeah, we have roughly that. I think the bar for how much better Keon Ellis needs to be than Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is very high. That Aaron Gordon player now becomes even more important.
Yes.
For what he does for Jokic and some of the what he takes off of Jokic's plate defensively. And I think the same goes for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Now, maybe De'Aaron Fox is enough to make that up by being that much better than Jamal Murray. I don't know.
Yeah, that's. I think that's the counterbalance.
That's my major. It's like, dude, everything runs through Nikola Jokic, and it's not just in the dribble handoff. They're getting it to him in crunch time. He took 5 fourth quarter shots last night, That's like your dude. It's not okay. Well, it's De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk time. It's like no, it's Nikola Jokic time, and that's the other pretty major concern I have. With this, can I offer you an Aaron Gordon suggestion, though?
Okay,
just while we're here.
Yeah,
unless you have a response.
No, I'm here for it because I get what you're saying, especially the fact that you can't feature Domas in the final 3 minutes of a game. That's just not who he is.
Yeah,
and he's not a good enough free throw shooter as well. In order for that to be who he is.
Yeah.
So I think that adds to it. Like, should he work this entire offseason on post moves? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we're talking about a 27 going on 28-year-old developing a post move. I think he can, and become even a better player as he goes along. Just refine who he is as a player. Mm-hmm. But I also think that where he is as a player is like really spectacular, and it's on management to put the pieces around him. Go find an Aaron Gordon. Go, find these players that make that cover the things that he's not good at. Which is, again, Michael Malone and the ownership and management and of the Denver Nuggets, they've done a really good job of building the players around them.
Yes.
They have. And then they look for, like, what we talk about with the 49ers, the gold helmet guys. That's Christian Brown. Like, the gold helmet guys, that's who you need, And I think that's what the Kings have to do. And I'm not saying Colby Jones can't be that, because maybe he can. But
sure.
But I'd also say Christian Brown, played huge minutes as a rookie on a championship team.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's different.
That's the other thing is let's get away from the Jokic. The bar the Nuggets have set is crazy high.
Oh, yeah.
And I get that's a good spot to shoot for. But I like I said, the timelines and everything else, it's like, man, I get the theory. But to me, if that's what the Kings are trying to do, if they're just like, oh, yeah, we just need to find an Aaron Gordon. Like, oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just go get him.
No, I guess. That's a problem.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, trying to find one of those guys, it's not easy. And it sure as hell isn't Kyle Kuzma.
Could it be Jonathan Kuminga?
No.
Not at all?
No.
Why not?
Well, first of all, the thing with Aaron Gordon is he's really, really good defensively and really smart defensively. And Kuminga might be okay as a man-up defender.
Mm-hmm.
He is not good as a team defender at all. Mm-hmm. And that's where, a team-defending guy is what you have to have. And again, these guys are hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like they grow on trees. You know, I would say, I would say Brandon Clark is more... the type. I mean, he's coming off an Achilles tear, and I don't think that they're going to move him. But Brandon Clark type player would do more. And I know the Kings they thought they had a deal done for Jared Vanderbilt, and Jared Vanderbilt is super super close to De'Aaron Fox, like one of his better friends in the league, and they thought they had a deal for him. That's another guy that I would look at. Like, you have to find that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how you do it because I could see the Lakers going, okay, we're going to big game hunt, or we need an elite 3-point shooter. Maybe they would consider a Kevin Herter for Jared Vanderbilt swap. Maybe that's something that would make sense to them. So
the other, just with Aaron Gordon specifically.
Yeah.
The role he's taken and embraced in Denver as a person entering his prime in the NBA after being a top five guy? Fourth overall in the 2014 draft and went to Orlando to be the dude and just never quite had that work out. The fact that he goes to Denver and then just accepts that role and is like, yeah, hey, he went from shooting in 7 seasons with Orlando, he shot 44.7% from the field.
Mm-hmm.
He's at 54.2% with the Nuggets.
That's because all he does is catch like wide open lobs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So
he's not like, I need the ball in my hands. I need to create.
But this is, I mean, again, this is the beauty of Michael Malone.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Michael Malone is a great coach.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd also say it's the beauty of Mike Brown. Like what we just saw with Malik Monk should like show you the path of how to create that player for the Kings.
Yes.
Right? So you understand what I'm saying? Like he took Malik Monk, who started 37 games the year before and was probably coming in thinking, well, maybe I'll start. No, this is who I need you to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I need you to accept it. And I need you to excel in it. And, mm-hmm. you know, we'll get you six man of the year trophies. But this is who I need you to be. Okay. Done. So that's where a great coach comes in and can help you.
It's a great point.
Like massage these situations to your advantage. So like where it makes sense for a player to come in and accept a different role. And like, look, Aaron Gordon is one of the few players that I would point to where I talk about this all the time, where you have so many people who go, hey, look, you know, if we bring in, again, I bring up Dante Green is the guy I always bring up.
Mm-hmm.
You bring in Dante Green, 6'10", 6'9", 6'10", long wingspan, great like feel for the game on the offensive end.
Mm-hmm.
If we bring him in and he doesn't work as like a scoring option, we can convert him to a 3-and-D guy. You can't. Aaron Gordon might be one of the few exceptions to a guy who came into the league with a totally different mentality and a totally mm-hmm. different like persona as a player to be able to morph him into something.
Yeah.
And to have him stop taking stupid shots.
Mm-hmm.
Like that in itself is beauty. Like Aaron Gordon doesn't take bad shots anymore. He took so many bad shots as a young player.
He actually takes the same amount of shot attempts a game in Denver that he did in Orlando.
Yeah, they're just better shot attempts.
Way better looks.
Yeah. So
getting that buy-in is a dramatic, dramatic aspect to this.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, that's where Monty and Wes have to like, it doesn't have to be like some enormous deal that brings in Pascal Siakam.
Mm-hmm.
It can be some other deal that no one is thinking of
mm-hmm.
that just works out. And again, I'll keep it. It wasn't so much the Jason Williams for Mike Bibby trade that mm-hmm. made the Kings great. It was the Corliss Williamson for Doug Christie deal that made the Kings great. That was the final piece that helped wrap it all together.
Yeah.
And I would make the argument of the starting five, Doug was like, as far as like production, the least sort of valuable guy in the NBA. The probably the least of like, if you're ranking the best players on the team, it would be him and Vlade like at number five. Like which one is number four and which is number five. You start with, it's clear, Chris Webber's number one, Peja mm-hmm. Stojakovic is number two, Mike Bibby's number three. Then it's like a discussion about who's the fourth and fifth best player. Mm-hmm. Well, the Kings have to find that guy. They have to have a guy who's the fourth or fifth best player, but his impact on the court ties everything together.
Yeah.
And that's how you get better.
I think this is, I saw some quotes from Monty McNair in a story by Howard Beck in The Ringer, where he talks about the bad to good jump versus the good to great jump.
Mm-hmm.
And how, you know, McNair basically said the bad to good isn't necessarily easy. It's not an easy jump to make, but it's also very, very difficult to go from good to great. Right?
Yeah.
And this is where I think that it's harder. It was not hard to identify De'Aaron Fox and go, that's a heck of a basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hard to look at Domantas Sabonis and go, hey, here's how he fits our roster better than Tyrese Haliburton does. Okay, hey, we're going to make this swap. But now it comes down to kind of these intangible things that you're talking about. It's easy to point to a good player. I'm gonna stick on the Jonathan Kuminga thing for a second because I agree with you. I think you made good points there. Jonathan Kuminga, skill set wise, you go, man, jumps out of the gym, a capable on-ball defender, has defended Jason Tatum well in the past. Has started to pick, he can score a little bit. He plays well out of the dunker spot. He's picking up a handle a little bit. Hey, you kind of see it, but there are so many players talented like that in the league. It's not about a talent getting them in here. Now it's a mindset. Now it's getting down, and this is the hardest part of scouting. We're talking about the NFL draft a lot on Candlestick Chronicles and at Niners Wire. There's so much of this. It's like, all these dudes are good at football, but which dudes like football? Which dudes fit your culture? Which guys have that dog in them, as it were? And that's such a key part of the team building process that is, to me, way more difficult than just going, oh, that guy's good at basketball, that guy's good at basketball. And it's like, but is that guy good at basketball for your team? Is that guy good at basketball now, but going to be better at basketball in 3 years? And these are the things that they're going to have to really, really drill down on as they start making these moves and making these deals. Is not only does this person's playing style fit, but are they going to buy in the way we saw Keon Ellis buy in? The way we saw Malik Monk buy in? And that, to me, is why this next jump for them is going to be harder.
No, I get what you're saying. And Drew Down brings up that Kuminga's only 21. The problem is, it's not that Kuminga is a bad player. It's that Kuminga still believes he is an all-star.
Yeah, right. Sure.
Don't need that. What they need is a guy who believes he can average 8 rebounds a game and can block 1.5 shots per game and will be a great defender and will hit the open 3 and like accept the role that's available.
Well, and frankly, this gets back to what you were talking about earlier, because Jonathan Kuminga is 21, mm-hmm. recently 21. Like, he's still a very young player in the league. And if he still believes that, then so be it. But that's why you talk about, you know, you go draft an 18 or 19-year-old. The Kings don't have that kind of time to see what that player is going to develop into. They can't wait 2 or 3 years for draft pick to be a rotational player for them. That's not in the cards. So in that same way, they don't have time to let Jonathan Kuminga figure out if he's an all-star or a elite role guy. That's not something that's going to necessarily help them.
Exactly. And again, like looking in the chat, someone brings up Patrick Williams. I would take Patrick Williams, although he's got a lot of injury problems, I would take Patrick Williams over Jonathan Kuminga. Kuminga is a more talented player. I don't have any question saying that. He is a more talented player. But we're talking about a better fit and who's going to accept a role. And even, I don't know, Patrick Williams is that guy either. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the idea, though, that this team needs. They need to go out and find those types of players.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not easy. Again, I think the Kings could easily, like, stay at number 14. They could draft a really, really solid player.
Like a 4-year college starter.
Or they could even draft one of these European players and say, okay, look, as opposed to having a Kessler Edwards hiding on the bench, deep on the bench, and going back and forth between the G League, we've got a guy who was a lottery pick, a number 13 pick, who we're trying to develop in a different way. And 2 years, 3 years down the road, you know, whether it's a stretch four, whether it's this 3-and-D, you know, small forward, whatever it might be, that's okay. But that's, I think, where the Kings need to, like, take a step back. Like, who is it that we need? How do we get to that next step? And I do believe that's what they've been doing, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not just saying, you know, like everyone, it's Mikal Bridges or it's Lauri Markkanen or bust. that's not what I'm saying. What it can't
be ideal, but it's not.
Yeah, but I think we've got to the point though where you can see this team. It can't be Kyle Kuzma and it can't be John Collins. It's got to be something that's different than those guys. Someone that has this other aspect to them that brings something that's so complementary to everybody else. Mm-hmm. And again, ties the whole thing together. It's about chemistry.
I would be super fascinated to sit down with Mike Brown and Kyle Kuzma and have Mike Brown pitch him the idea of being Aaron Gordon or that type of player.
Okay.
Where, hey, you're going to bust your hind end on defense. You're going to get to 50-50 balls. You're going to shoot it. What does Aaron Gordon shoot at? 10, 11 times a game. You're going to score 14, 15 points a night, and that's going to be your role on this team.
I think I can drop the mic. Will Kyle Kuzma take his sunglasses off during that discussion?
Stop.
No, I mean, that's what we're talking about. Like,
I'm trying, man.
I get what you're saying, but that's
why I'd be fascinated to watch it.
That's why it's like, okay, no, he won't, because he's never accepted anything else. He accepted $100 million deal or whatever it is in Washington mm-hmm. to play for a loser, mm-hmm. a team that they knew was not going to be good. And if he's telling you he thought differently, then he's absolutely crazy. People bring up Denny Avdija.
I thought Jordan Poole was going to win most improved. So
yeah,
that's where I'm at.
I think Denny Avdija has talent, and he's a guy I would at least like. It's the idea of this I get, but at the same time, the Kings need long, athletic, super athletic. they need a shot blocker. They need somebody, again, like if you could find the young Jeremy Grant, not 30-year-old with $90 million still left on his contract. Yeah. You know, again, someone brought up in the chat, they brought up Isaac Okoro. Okay. I love him too, but the fact is he's never quite developed, and is he just who he is and he's not good enough?
Yeah.
That's a possibility. And to be honest, what are you going to have to give up? How much does he make? And is Keon Ellis just flat out better?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's the question you have to like address every single time when you're making these moves. You know, again,
but
Jaime
I also don't hate the idea of having multiple Keon Ellis's.
Oh, no, no. I agree. Like, again, we could talk about, like, is Bruce Brown available? Can you go get him? Mm-hmm. Is he going to opt out of his contract? He's probably not going to opt out at $20 million and take less.
Yeah.
But could you go get a guy like Bruce Brown and have him be part of your program? Yeah. Maybe that's something. But again, a Keon Ellis, just a more mature version of that.
Yeah.
And so that's where I think it's really difficult, but that's why you make the big bucks. You got to go out and find these guys, and you got to... Yep. Like, advanced team building is brutal, especially when you could lose one of, like, the diamonds in the rough that you found and helped convert into a potential $100 million player.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Malik Monk signed a two-year $19 million deal. He's now probably $120 million player. That was really, really good work by not only De'Aaron Fox, like, pitching and getting him in there, mm-hmm. but also... by the front office, like saying yes and going in and getting that player and then having Mike Brown help develop that player.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these are all things that you have to do if you're going to be a winning franchise, and sometimes you lose them.
This might be, we have a couple of minutes left. This might be too big of a question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get the idea that if Mike Brown came in here and we said, hey, write a synopsis of the type of player you're looking for this offseason that you think this roster needs? And then Monty McNair, we asked him the same question, if those two definitions would line up.
That would be a really, really interesting question. I think that if you're Mike Brown, you could pitch why your answer would work and still be part of Monty's idea. And the way what I mean by that is it's slightly complex, but where if you were to give me a Jared Vanderbilt,
mm-hmm.
I can make Keegan Murray into the player that you guys want. I can make him into 22-point-per-game guy. If you give me Kyle Kuzma, I can't do that with Keegan. I've got to make Keegan into my Jared Vanderbilt. And, like, I can't have both.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a complex, again, like, give and take between a coach and a GM. I hope that they're on the same page.
Sure.
And it's Monty's job to bring in the players for him.
Yeah.
It's Mike's job to coach them, but also Mike has to have the right ingredients in order to make the right recipe.
No doubt. All right, that's going to do it for us today on The Insiders, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Thanks, everybody, for tapping in. Really fun discussion, James. Happy to have you back. We will be continuing this discussion or some version of it basically all offseason. No better place to get ready for next Kings season than right here on ESPN 1320. So we really appreciate everybody listening, everybody watching. We're handing it off to D'Lo and Casey. They will be with you next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. See you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.